Welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, in the next couple of weeks, Florida lawmakers could vote to ban what are known as sanctuary cities. Now, they're considering legislation that would require local police to honor requests from federal immigration authorities to detain people thought to be in the U.S. illegally. A proposal in the House would fine local governments if they don't cooperate with federal immigration requests. This is moving forward, even though there are no official sanctuary cities in the state of Florida. Kyan Michael supports the effort. Her son, Brandy, was killed by an undocumented immigrant in 2007.
We are not against immigration because we all came from somewhere. But what we are against is those that continuously, on purpose, deliberately break our laws without any care of how it affects the next person.
Immigration has dominated national politics with debates over federal funding for a border wall between the United States and Mexico, separating families of undocumented immigrants, and President Trump considering releasing undocumented immigrants into sanctuary cities. While immigration is a federal issue, it has spread certainly to state policy and politics. Miami Democratic State Senator Jose Javier Rodriguez worries this Florida legislation could lead to fewer crimes being reported.
When we make policies that further divide the community and really put certain members of the community even further into the shadows, that makes it harder for law enforcement.
So we begin the hour, and in fact, we're going to spend the full hour here on the Florida Roundup looking at the issue of immigration. What do you think of the push in Florida to ban sanctuary cities? How do you believe the state should deal with the issue of immigration and those who are here who are undocumented? Is this issue affecting you, your family, your community? Give us a call right now here on the Florida Roundup. The number to join us anywhere in the state is 305-995-1800. You can tweet us as well at Florida Roundup. Already getting tweets, Tom, on this very timely issue.
Lots of folks want their voices to be heard. Joe Gruters is with us now via FaceTime, a state senator, Republican from Sarasota. He is the sponsor of this Senate legislation. Senator Gruters, welcome back to Florida Public Radio. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks so much for allowing me to join you today. It's a big issue here in Florida.
It is a big issue. You have said that this immigration issue is your number one priority for the state legislative session. First, let's start here. Are there cities in Florida currently that you consider sanctuary cities?
I would say yes. You know, so there's a lot of confusion on this because there's no official definition of what a sanctuary city is, but that's what my bill does. It defines what a sanctuary city is. And that's basically, you know, saying that you cannot have local government officials and jurisdictions preventing cooperation between local governments and federal immigration authorities or laws.
So are you saying that there are
67 counties in Florida?
So are you saying that there are law enforcement agencies in Florida that have as a policy not to cooperate with federal immigration detention requests?
And which cities are those, Senator? Which cities do you consider to be sanctuary cities in Florida?
Well, out of 67 counties, there's only 34 right now that actually have basic ordering agreements in place with ICE. And what hopefully with this legislation will do is will require all 67 counties to have the same, to have those agreements in place with ICE.
Okay, so not having that agreement, in your estimation, means that the community is a sanctuary community?
Not necessarily. And I don't want to point out individual counties, but there are numerous ones that are that. Here's the deal. The information, it's illegal to not share information. What we need to do is make sure that these local governments, agree with the detainer requests and hold these criminal illegals who are in the, they've either been arrested or they've been convicted and they're supposed to remain in police custody for 48 hours for ICE immigration to be picked up. This is about public safety because what you don't want to do when that information gets shared with the federal government, ICE knows where these people are. This is about making sure we don't disrupt communities, families, and everything else, and making sure that we have this transfer in a secure location. This is about removing bad criminal illegal aliens who are in our system. If you're a hardworking illegal out there, not breaking the law, you have nothing to worry about. But if you are breaking the law, and just to let you know, even if you're an illegal and you do get arrested, only about 15% of those people nationwide will have a detainer request outstanding. This is not looking for people with minor crimes or have a driver's license issue. This is people with gang activity, people who have been deported before, people who have violent criminal histories. This is making sure we remove the criminal illegal aliens from our system. And if they want to stay here, they should probably move to some sanctuary state like California, because in Florida, they're not going to be welcome.
One more question for you, Senator Gruters, then we'll bring in a representative from the Florida Immigrant Coalition. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, just issued what they call a travel warning for the state of Florida. They say that the bill that you're sponsoring is draconian. They're warning immigrants not to travel here because of possible violations to their constitutional rights. I'm wondering what your reaction is to that. And another question that's come up about this legislation, why not address other regulations like beefing up E-Verify instead of passing this bill, the database that would confirm someone's eligible to work here in the United States? Why not focus more on that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. E-Verify is very important. We do need to bring that up. And I hope that, listen, this is my first year in the Senate, and this is the first time that Sanctuary City has ever moved. And I have to give a lot of credit to the governor, Ron DeSantis, for his willingness to push this forward, because it's a court bird in the House, myself in the Senate with a lot of people. There's a lot of people helping. But this is very important, and you're right. This is just the start. Next is going to be E-Verify, and I'm glad that people are bringing that up, and I'm glad that people support it, because that will curb illegal immigration, period. What this bill does, this only deals with criminal illegal aliens. E-Verify will actually deal with illegal immigration at its core, and I'm glad that people like you are wanting to continue to bring this up, because it's so important. In terms of the ACLU, the ACLU is it's such an irresponsible statement for them to issue a travel warning of people with color to coming to Florida. It's one of the most irresponsible things I've heard all year. It's disappointing. Misinformation. They're building up their rhetoric. It's fear mongering. It's race baiting. And they should be ashamed of themselves, because all this does is protect the citizens and non-citizens alike that are living in Florida, that are doing the right thing, that are obeying our laws. And it's making sure that we criminal illegal aliens, only people that have been arrested or have been convicted, to make sure if there's a detainer request outstanding, that our local elected officials follow the rule of law. And listen, if people don't like the immigration laws, if people don't like laws or the rule of law, then change them. But go to Congress. We don't change immigration laws in Florida, but our local elected officials took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and they're supposed to protect the government and support the government. And they're not.
Senator Gruters, you've used the phrase here, criminal aliens. Removing criminal aliens is the goal of this legislation. It's about removing bad criminal aliens from Florida. Is it your intent, then, that this is solely directed at people who stand accused of felony crimes that then have been found to be undocumented? So they have to be found to be accused of a crime first before they are run through the immigration system?
You have to be arrested first before anything happens.
But arrested for, I'm sorry to interrupt, Senator.
For anything.
Arrested for anything. Jaywalking, not paying parking tickets, anything.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I mentioned it briefly in the opening, because when you're arrested, what happens? It doesn't matter if you're an American or you're non-American. You go to jail, and what happens is you get processed. So if you're an American or non-American, sometimes you have some type of identification, you have to give people your name, right? And then you get your process, or you get fingerprinted. And those fingerprints, no matter whether, and if you don't have identification to prove who you are, that identification, what happens is when you get your fingerprinting done, it goes through a national database. And across the country, across the entire United States, there's about 1 million people who had their information ran last year from jails. Out of that, 150,000 people out of the million had detainer requests outstanding. Now, the ICE has their own determination of who has these detainer requests outstanding. These are civil warrants. So as a result, if you have been deported before, there's always going to be a civil warrant for you to be detained. But what?
And it's let me just jump in as we
the information
as we get our we just got to get our number out to the state, Senator Gruters. Just got to get our number out so we can get callers for you. It's 305-995-1800. Okay. What are your thoughts about immigration here in the state of Florida? Let's bring in Basma Alawi. She's refugee organizer with the Florida Immigrant Coalition, and your organization, Basma, has called this proposed legislation harassment and said it would result in an irreparable human and even economic cost to Florida. What do you mean by that?
Thank you so much, Melissa, for bringing me in. Before actually I jump and talk about the numbers, I want to say that I am a mother of two girls, and I escaped war for my kids to live safely here. I want safety for my kids like others. My daughter is turning 11 next month, and she's not better than Jaylee Lopez, who is 11 years old, who I'm now quoting his statement. He says, "My mom moved to Florida after Hurricane Mitch hit Honduras. And even though she didn't want to, she was forced to flee and come here. She lost everything. I don't understand how people like her, who are forced out of their homes and have to make do with what they got, are later labeled as criminals if they get caught driving without a license. So what I really want to say that it's a family separation bill. If that kid's thinking like this,
you see this proposed legislation as causing family separation.
Yes.
How so?
How so? In Florida, one of out of five residents is an immigrant, and nearly 1 million live with at least one undocumented family member. Immigrants make up a quarter of the labor force in Florida, and Florida is one of the most diverse states in the country. Yet, in that time, we are still getting attacked. These bills, 168 or Bill 527, following is in the famous steps of Texas, Alabama, and Tennessee and Arizona. These bills would require the state and local law enforcement to actively assist federal immigrants officials at Florida taxpayer expense in arresting and deporting our neighbors and family members. In response, statewide a national organization have put out a Florida travel alert warning people and companies to avoid Florida if these are family separation bill pass. I want also to say it's not just separating families. This bill will cost a lot of money. This legislation would order trust in law enforcement, force a state agency to report undocumented immigrant, and cost the state $3.5 billion in GBD, according to the American Business and Immigration Coalition and the Immigration Partnership Fund.
What's your response to the senator's position that this would only serve to apprehend criminals who have violated major statutes and would not target undocumented people who are law-abiding citizens?
So from what I'm hearing, it's not targeting criminals because the Senate just said first people need to be arrested. So how they are getting arrested? And our people from the other side saying, is it by jaywalking? Is that can take them to be arrested and then deported? And to be honest, I want to quote our faith leaders. One of them is Russell L. Myers. He is the executive director of Florida Council of Churches, who says, "Our children and the families in our communities must be protected and strengthened so that they overcome whatever traumas they may have previously experienced and become productive citizens in Florida. Immigrants contribute a great deal to our communities and the economy while showing the lower crime rates than native-born citizens. Our federal government need to take swift action to end the root cause of migration and establish a pathway for legal status. Florida needs to find ways that are legally permissible to protect all children and families who reside in the state and to develop trust within immigrant communities, because that advances public safety. SB 168 and HB 527 do the opposite of these things. They fail the basic principle in scripture. So then, show love for those foreigners because you were once foreigners in Egypt.
Trust is certainly a big issue here in terms of law enforcement community and trust in immigrant communities as well as throughout Florida. We're talking about immigration and Florida here on the Florida Roundup, 305-995-1800. Joe Gruter's the senator in the Florida Senate, the Republican sponsor of the measure, is still with us via FaceTime. Senator, real quick, before we get to the phone calls, I'd like you to respond to a couple of things. One is describing this as a family separation bill. Do you understand that criticism? Can you see how this legislation, should it become law in Florida, could separate immigrant families in Florida?
It's a family separation bill of somebody and their family who's robbing a bank. Basically, you're not going to go to jail. It's the same thing if you're an American citizen. What happens is when you get arrested, let's say if you have a warrant because you stole a car in Georgia and they run your name through the database and all of a sudden that warrant comes back, obviously you're going to be transferred to Georgia. This is all this law is. It has nothing to do with immigration whatsoever. Nothing. The only thing this says is follow the laws that exist on the books. And basically, if you have, and this is about making sure that we remove the criminal elements. And so if you're not a criminal, if you're an illegal alien out there, you're working hard to support your family, you're not breaking the law, you have nothing to worry about. Nothing. There's no separation.
But if you
did something in your background, you're going to be deported.
Let me ask you about the cost of this as well. As you heard, opponents think that this could cost the state of Florida hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars over the course of many, many years. There is a reimbursement clause in your piece of legislation, but it requires that county jails essentially have a reimbursement agreement in place with the federal government in order to get paid back for honoring these detention requests.
That is the basic order agreement that I talked about at the beginning of the show. That's 48 hours. You'd be reimbursed $50. But what my bill also does is it provides the 12 days before any inmate is being cycled out of the process.
But if counties don't have that agreement, if counties do not have a reimbursement policy in place already, those folks that would be detained by the local authorities would be detained at the expense of local taxpayers, correct?
That's exactly right. And that's why we want to make sure everybody does have those basic ordering agreements in place. And even if they didn't have the reimbursement request in, it'd still be a public benefit because criminals are the ones who commit additional crimes. I'll talk to the angel parents out there who have lost kids as a result of illegal immigrants who have been deported numerous times. This is about doing the right thing for communities, and it's all about respecting the rule of law. If you don't like the law, change it. But you change it at the federal level, not the state level. All we're saying is people have taken an oath to protect and uphold the Constitution. That's what we want people to do. You can't pick and choose laws. The Washington has failed us in terms of immigration. We have 100,000 illegal aliens coming in through our southern border every single month. Obviously, it's a complete nightmare. It's a failure, but nobody is against legal immigration. We want people to come the right way. Our country's founded on immigrants, like your other caller said, and I support legal immigration, but we do not support illegal immigration. We certainly don't support criminal illegals being turned over when they're supposed to be held for 48 hours by local governments. And I certainly don't support local government officials turning a blind eye and allowing these the criminals to go free when they should be turned over to ICE.
Senator, we appreciate that. Stick with us here. We've got a lot more. We got a lot of phone calls we're going to get to right after the break here, Melissa. A lot of folks from North Florida in your neighborhood in Jacksonville, folks from South Florida down
lots
where I am want to talk
as
about
well.
This.
Lots of tweets.
Some in opposition, some in support as well. It certainly is a state issue, no doubt about it. 305-995-1800 is our statewide phone number. At Florida Roundup, if you're on social media, you can send us a note there. We will continue our conversation talking about immigration, the effort to prohibit sanctuary cities in the state of Florida, and how the state handles undocumented immigrants and the importance of immigration to the state of Florida. It's all next as the roundup continues.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup as we continue talking about the very contentious issue of immigration in Florida and a proposal in the legislature that would ban what are known as sanctuary cities. Lots of calls coming into the show from across the state. Let's hear from all of you out there right now on this Friday. Alan is in Central Florida. Hi, Alan. Thanks for holding. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. Just a I don't know how long I'm going to have here, but I've been a cop in Central Florida for 18 years, and there's some misinformation or just absurd points being made here. One, I've never in my 18 years arrested somebody and taken the whole family to jail so they could stay together. When a person commits a crime, that individual goes to jail. Like Senator was saying, they get ran and everything else. My particular agency, and I'm pretty sure it's across the state, has an employee whose sole responsibility is to notify the consulates of their citizens being arrested so that they have proper representation and that they're taken care of. I have never in 18 years gone out and done some kind of roundup or arrested anyone, not a single person, because of their
status. And are you in Orlando, Alan? Are you in Orlando?
I am in Orlando.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know,
all right.
So we take great care to make sure that the proper procedures are taken and that people, the consulates are notified. It has nothing to do with that. And like the Senate, I think he's a senator. What he mentioned, if a person has a warrant out of state, if there's an extradition, then it's honored. We hold that person
I
for
see.
That state.
Thank you, Alan.
So
that's Alan in Orlando as
a
police officer
on,
calling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
A lot of heartstrings getting tugged on. But facts are facts. It's pretty black and white. If somebody has committed a crime, they go to jail by themselves. It's not a separation of families. You know, I've never arrested anyone for jaywalking, you know. So I just wanted to say that everyone wants everyone to be here happy. But if a crime is committed and they've already had a detainer put on them, then it has to be honored.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Thanks for that. As a police officer calling in from Orlando, Basma Alawi with the Florida Immigrant Coalition, what's your reaction to his perspective as a uniformed officer?
Well, thank you so much, Alan, for calling. We would like to have more officers like you first, because we do have in Jacksonville who we have people who get arrested for jaywalking. But before I jump in, I just want to share that we have it in the city of Miami, a police chief, George Colin, has publicly criticized this portion of SB 168. He remarked that he would quit his job before checking on a crime victim's immigration status. This concerns likely stem from law enforcement's singular understanding that gaining the trust of victims and witness to crucial fighting crime.
This is the police chief in the city of Miami, Jorge Colina, who said that I'd prefer not to have this job if I have to ask fellow officers to go check where someone came from before helping them. That's what he said in March. Tom in Tallahassee on line two, your thoughts. Go ahead. You're on the radio, Tom.
Well, the example you just gave does not apply towards any of the legislation that the senator's talking about, because it's not about their immigration status that they're being arrested. It's for crime. And, you know, we often forget, we keep talking about separating families. You know, people who are non-immigrants, that is to say citizens of the United States, we're also victims of crime. As a matter of fact, if you look at our federal crime statistics, the people who are in federal prisons, an entire third, it's actually 32% of the federal prisoners in federal prisons are foreign nationals. And the largest component of that are illegal aliens from Mexico. So we're citizens need to be defended as well. So when I hear these people talk about how this is going to cost us money by enforcing our immigration laws, it's already costing us much more money by not enforcing our immigration law. It's in the hundreds of billions of dollars, because all those children are being sent to school at taxpayers' expense.
Right, in terms of the social...
They haven't
Tom,
paid.
You're talking about the social costs of this. Is that essentially what you're getting at? Not only the public services that are provided undocumented immigrants, but other types of costs.
Sure, okay. Taxpayer costs,
gotcha.
Like schooling and all these other expenses is in the hundreds of billions of dollars.
Gotcha. Tom,
and
thanks for sharing. We got a lot of calls, a lot of tweets we want to get to here, Tom, so I appreciate your thoughts.
Lots of tweets coming into the show here, just a couple. The senator said no one is against legal immigration. Meanwhile, the president said the country is full and that legal asylum seekers are liars. I'll get Senator Grutter's reaction to that in a moment. But first, let's go to Martha in Miami. She's a retired police officer. Martha, is that right? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm a retired Miami-Dade police captain, and I commend the City of Miami Police Chief Colina for his for his guts. But I have a quick question for Senator Grutter's. When immigrants no longer trust police because members of a family may be detained just for a driver's license or a minor violation, when they don't report their crimes, that subject goes free, and that puts everybody at risk. including legal residents. What does Senator Gruters have to say to that?
All right, Senator Gruters, what about that?
Why would an immigrant not report a crime? The only people that are impacted with this bill are either criminal illegals who have been arrested or have been convicted. If you're an illegal alien out there trying to do the best job you can for your family, you have nothing to worry about. And the problem is if you are driving without a license, you probably won't have a detainer request on you unless there is some type of violent act that you've done previously or unless you've been deported before. But however, that's still against the law. We should enforce the laws that are on the books and make sure. Or the flip side is, if you don't like the immigration policies, talk to your local member of Congress and get the laws changed in D.C. But what we have is our entire immigration system is a failure. But what we shouldn't do is pick and choose laws that we support or we don't support. The chief in Miami obviously didn't read the bill, and it's a good thing because he has nothing to do with this bill because it's only the people who are dealing with the jails. It's only when you get processed. Nobody's asking anybody to check immigration status. It's irresponsible for him to say that. And what it is it's comments like that and like this that are going to scare immigrants moving forward to report laws once this bill passes because of the misinformation that's being put out there by the left.
We've got lots of law enforcement and retired law enforcement apparently listening to the program here, Senator Melissa and Basma, according to the callers here. Chris in Tampa also describes himself as within law enforcement. Chris, you're on the radio. You are a sworn officer, is that right?
That's correct. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for calling in. Go ahead, your thoughts.
As a law enforcement officer, I've dealt with citizens as well as our immigrants. There is honestly no way to distinguish in numbers that people are throwing out when you compare it to boots on the ground law enforcement to who is committing what crimes. I have arrested citizens for DUIs. I've arrested immigrants for DUIs. I've arrested citizens for domestic violence. I've arrested immigrants for domestic violence. The crime is the same across the board. Here in Florida, we stigmatize being an immigrant. However, if you look at our agriculture, if you look at our tourism industry, if you look at our construction industry, it is built on the back of immigrants. And anyone who says that our state does not need immigrants is being a hypocrite because our E-Verify bill was shot down.
Yeah, Chris, just to be clear, Chris, sorry to interrupt. I don't think the senator, I have not heard the senator say that Florida does not need immigrants, and I haven't heard other folks say Florida does not need immigrants on this particular program. Perhaps that is part of the larger conversation that you have heard, though, as a law enforcement officer.
Not that we don't need immigrants, but we are demonizing being an immigrant. Hmm. They are just as important as U.S. born citizens.
Chris, I appreciate that, and thanks for calling here. To that point, some census data that came out Senator, to have you respond to here. In the 8 year, 2010 through 2018, over the course of 8 years, almost half of Florida's new population came from international migration. And in some communities, like the community I'm in South Florida, 94% of the population growth over the first 8 years of this decade came from international migration. If it weren't for international migration, the population in South Florida would essentially be flat.
Yeah, and listen, nobody's against legal immigration. My thing is there's people that are doing it the right way. They're paying lots of money. They're waiting their turn. They're doing everything right. For the people, and I'm not saying let's deport all the illegals here. That's not what this bill does. That's all federal immigration policy that's determined out of D.C. Florida, we have nothing to do with Florida immigration laws, nor does this bill have anything to do with Florida immigration policy or laws. What this bill does is it says the local elected officials have to follow the laws that are on the books, and that means if you're a criminal illegal alien, either being arrested or previously being convicted, then there's a detainer request outstanding that local government officials honor those requests. That's it.
Let me ask you, Senator, we're getting a lot of pushback on Twitter about the rhetoric you use. Here's a tweet from a listener. The phrases criminal alien and race baiting are both phrases often used by white nationalists to disseminate racist ideals. Please ask the senator to stop using that language. Here's another tweet from a listener. This is baloney. We know people of color are regularly detained for non-existent infractions such as driving while black. These abuses make non-documented immigrants vulnerable and subsequent appalling treatment at the hands of ICE. So what's your response to those who find your rhetoric, frankly, racist, and they see this legislation as appealing to white nationalistic xenophobic elements within society and here in Florida as well?
It's so sad to hear that following the law would be considered the supportive of anything white nationalism. You know, I condemn hate.
Well, I think the issue was not about the legislation, but about the language you use, the descriptive language you use of criminal alien.
Listen, they are criminal illegal aliens. At the end of the day, these guys are not here legally. And then they are the only way this impacts you is if you're an illegal alien and you're following the laws here. Nobody is going to bother you. This only impacts
illegal,
you.
Illegal is an adjective, arrested, though. It's not a noun. It's an adjective. So human being is illegal by just existing.
If you're an illegal alien here, not legally, and then you break the laws, any state or federal law, and you go to jail, then this law applies to you. My advice for people is don't break the law. You could be here illegally. This bill has nothing to do with that. That's for D.C. to decide. But this is following the laws that are on the books. And only 15% of the people that get arrested, 15% nationwide, actually have a detainer request outstanding that are here, that are processed illegals. 15% have a detainer request outstanding. And it's normally because there's some type of gang activity, violent behavior in their past. Just because if you robbed a bank 15 years ago.
Okay.
You're not in the system. The problem is our local law enforcement agencies do not have the database.
We're having a little bit of issue with his connection, but before we get to the break.
Really quickly, before we go to break, Basma Alawi, your final thoughts on this?
Actually, I think I rather use the word undocumented because there is no illegal human. In Florida, I have a lot of friends who were undocumented and they worked hard, they paid taxes, they are our neighbors. Now they are documented, great. But all their life, they were undocumented who worked hard and paid taxes. So we use the labor, but when we want to support them and give them identification, we don't do that. I'm quoting something from yesterday that I read for attorney Karen M. Lezzi, who she is Republican. So I'm trying to make sure that people don't take this issue partisan. This is a family separation bill. She said one of the greatest problem is these bills have an isolating effect on undocumented victims of crime. As an attorney who often works with victims of domestic violence and other crimes, I understand the big courage it takes for undocumented immigrants to seek help when they are being abused or threatened. She said, I am aware of the overpowering fear they feel for government authorities figure, such as law enforcement. Immigrants from Central and South America often have reason to distrust law enforcement, as their own government are rampant with corruption by gangs and cartels, and local police often see domestic violence as private family matter rather than a crime. I just want to make sure that to be more exclusive when we use the language, and let's build a safe community, more exclusive community than just inclusive community, and not to exclude people by calling them different names.
Well, we thank you both so much for joining the show. Senator Joe Gruters, Republican of Sarasota, a sponsor of the Sanctuary Cities Bill, and Basma Alawi with the Florida Immigrant Coalition. Thanks for a spirited discussion and debate on this issue. Thank you both.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
And you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Your phone calls and tweets still to come. Blaise Gainey joins us now, reporter with our sister station in Tallahassee, WFSU. Ana Ceballos is watching the state legislature for our news partner, News Service of Florida. The politics of all this, Blaise and Ana, are fascinating here throughout Florida, the peninsula, and the panhandle. Ana, first of all, describe the politics that are kind of in play as these two sanctuary city prohibition efforts are continuing to gain traction in the final weeks of the legislature.
Well, I think everyone got a little taste of how heated this debate is in just, 40 minutes that we were listening to both Senator Gruters and the Florida Immigration Coalition. You know, it's when you're covering these bills, it's you're preparing yourself to sit in a committee room for about, 3 hours. And it's both heated debate among the members in the panels, whether it be senators or state representatives. It's family members who are either affected by on both sides of the aisle, right? It's people who are immigrants. There's people who, as Senator Gruters mentioned them, they call themselves the angel families who are U.S. citizens who lost someone to an undocumented immigrant. So it's pretty emotional. And I mean, I think everyone got a pretty good taste of what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blaze, it's been mostly party lines, however, in terms of the process for these bills. Isn't that accurate?
Yes, it is accurate. But as you heard earlier, it's not just about party lines. I mean, some people just care about undocumented citizens, and most of them, I believe, are trying to get documented, and they don't want to see those people deported.
And, let me ask you both as a follow-up. This is all in the shadow of what's going on federally with President Trump proposing sending undocumented people to sanctuary cities like, say, San Francisco. And even though we heard Senator Gruter saying what's going on in Florida is specific to Florida, the national issues certainly hang over this, Anna, don't they?
I'm sorry. I mean, it gets... Are you talking about the definition of what would be a sanctuary city here in just, terms of how we would be affected with the federal?
No, not policies? That so much as driving up the contentiousness of the rhetoric around this issue and the divisiveness.
Right. And it's not, Florida has not been a stranger to this. I mean, since Trump got elected, I think I was covering all the immigration bills, including this specific bill that was being considered in 2017. And it kind of gave impetus to all these state lawmakers to again propose these bills. And it just didn't really go anywhere. But this year, Senator Gruters, he doubles as a chairman of the RPOF. He's made it his priority. He's been
the Republican Party of Florida.
Pretty effective. Oh, yeah. Sorry, the Republican Party of Florida. And he's pretty effective with what he's done in the Senate so far.
Yes, and we'll continue talking about this here on the Florida Roundup. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks again for listening. Lots of calls to get to as we talk about immigration, undocumented and otherwise in Florida. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Our guests this hour, Blaze Ganey of WFSU and Anna Ceballos of News Service of Florida. Lots of tweets. I want to get to a few of them before we go to another call. Here's one from Cesar. That was dog whistle politics from Senator Gruters. How about spending your time and energy making the state more open for business instead of scapegoating immigrants? Frank tweets the Florida Roundup. You're covering this bill based on emotions. A person who commits a crime, like your guest used the example of jaywalking, will not be harmed. That gives you an idea of the different points of view on this issue. And we want to get to a few more of your calls. Call us from anywhere you are in the state at 305-995-1800. Dan is in Merritt Island. Hey, Dan. I understand your line of work deals with undocumented workers. Is that right? Good afternoon to you.
Hi, thank you for having me on. Yes, I've been in Brevard County for 15 years. I've been in the landscape industry. Before I go on, I just wanted to say, I think the big confusion is that people don't have their terms correct. I mean, we're talking about undocumented immigrants, and it is illegal immigrants. And so why do we mix it together and say immigrants? They're not, they're immigrants, but there's legal immigrants and undocumented immigrants. Let's separate them so that we can talk about the same thing. I don't understand why everybody on the radio is saying, they're saying different things. Why can't we all agree that these people that come here need to come legally? And when they come legally, then they're in the legal immigration system. When they come over illegally, then they're illegal. Why is that a bad term to use, and why do people get so offended by that?
And I appreciate the question because we have gotten a lot of tweets about that, asking us to point out that a human being isn't illegal simply by existing and walking around in the world And that's why I think we've seen this push in recent years to use the phrase undocumented instead. But let me ask you as a follow-up, you're a landscaper. So tell me how that impacts the landscaping business. What do you see on your job?
Well, we have a lot of undocumented immigrants that come into work. And the reason why they are undocumented, and you know, is because they come to you with fake Social Security cards, fake IDs. You can tell they're printed. And when they present them to you, you see that and you say, we can't hire you. Get out of here. You know, I mean, that's the fact. You know, and then there are legal immigrants that come. There are legal people that work in the industry. But, and then there are companies that will hire illegal immigrants and have them work. The problem is that these immigrants and illegal immigrants that are working in the landscape industry, then they go and they get their families here, and they get, and I see it firsthand. All of a sudden they're on the welfare system. All of a sudden they're having babies at our expense. All of a sudden, even though our
okay.
poor people
Okay. Let me ask you as a follow-up before we go back to the reporters, Dan. Let me just ask you as a follow-up. Do you fault employers for not making better use of E-Verify, which would verify whether someone is here legally or not?
Of course, people should use E-Verify. That would be a great system to have up and running. But the thing is that what your guest and Melissa was saying is that, so what? These people are legal. They're working hard. It doesn't make a difference. You know, they're working hard. So what difference does it make if they jaywalk and they get arrested? Should they be deported? Well, yes, because they're here illegally. Come here legally, start your paperwork, and let's get you here as a American citizen, not an illegal alien. There's two different things. They come here wanting to be citizens. They do. I have many friends that come here. I have friends because I'm in the industry, you know, but they want to be here, and we want them here, but we want them legal. And when you
All right,
say,
Dan, well, thanks for your call. Yeah, I got you, Dan. Blaze Ganey. And this guy who works in the landscaping business really sort of reiterated the perspective of Senator Gruder's. And so this bill is certainly almost certain to pass. You know, tell us about the prospects for passage and the next steps in this legislation. Hey, Blaze, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Blaze.
Yeah, I believe both bills are now on the floor. And like you said, they most likely will pass. You see, these committees are usually filled with undocumented citizens coming up and giving their testimony about the fear of the bill passing. But as you see, Senator Gruders and others are on a mission to get it passed. And one thing about, you know, the agriculture, the industrial industry, they need some of these people to work. I mean, some of this money that is being made, I believe earlier it was stated that a lot of the people in South Florida, the population would not have seen the rise if it wasn't for immigrants. And so I think people need to understand the impact that they have on the economy also.
Yeah. And, you know, Dan, the caller from Merritt Island, has an interesting point about the conflation that can happen when talking about immigration and lumping in undocumented immigrants and those that have sought out a legal path. Is there that kind of nuance? Have you picked up on that nuance within the legislative debate regarding this piece of legislation, these pieces of legislation that look to be at least voted on by the House and Senate in the weeks ahead?
I haven't, and usually that comes up in questions when the bills are being presented, and Democrats often, you know, kind of put the sponsor of the bill on the spot, and they ask them, like, is it a criminal offense to cross the border illegally to come in here? And, you know, they have, you know, it's not a criminal offense, it's a civil offense.
Right.
And so that's, it kind of sparks a little bit of a debate, but it's not quite as, you know, the rhetoric, it is focused on the rhetoric at the same time, but it's not the driving factor or the driving question most of the times.
Talking about immigration in Florida, and you are listening to it on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Susan in Flagler Beach on line 5. Go ahead, Susan. Thanks for holding on. You're on the radio.
Thank you. I'm a registered nurse, so I'm on the front lines of a different sport. But I have 4 sons, 3 that were born in Florida, and 2 that are gainfully employed. I also have two that have misdemeanors and have driven without a driver's license and have gone to jail and have a record and separated from their family and in debt to the court for their own prosecution. So why should immigrants, illegal immigrants, be subject to any different kind of system? These are our laws.
Do you support the senator's efforts?
I do support the senator's efforts. I'm also a humanitarian. I'm a nurse. I care for people. I'm a human advocate. And I treat people regardless of their immigration status.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that if you want to be here in our country and you want to work hard, productivity is awesome. We need workers. We need nurses. Come here.
Let's take one more call. Yeah, thank you for
Susan.
That. Let's take one more call. Thank you, Susan. Jim in Tallahassee. Go ahead, Jim.
Jim, are you with us?
Go ahead, Jim. Okay, not sure we have Jim connected, but in the short amount of time we have, guys, you know, it's clear how divisive this issue is. This is such an incredible fault line in our politics, both here in Florida and around the country. As you follow this up close in Tallahassee, you've seen this. You've heard both sides as they make emotional testimony. Those who've lost loved ones to undocumented killers, and also immigrants testifying about the pain in their community. Ana Ceballos, following this up close in Florida, this state which has a large immigrant population, what are your final thoughts?
Well, I think it's important to remember, I mean, I think for this is the year that it will very much likely pass. On Tuesday, the House will hear it. On we don't really know yet on the Senate. But it's, you know, it, in the Senate, one Republican only has parted with his or her Republican colleagues and sided with Democrats. And that's Anna Terra Florida. She lives in Miami. And, you know, we can understand a little bit of why her constituents, you know, are probably demanding this kind of stance from her. And so, you know, it's going to remain a heated debate until the end of session. And I think people should just, I guess we will have to wait and see as to how these definitions will play out, because there are enforcement provisions tied to this bill. So at least in the House, we don't know if those are going to pass.
Yeah, but somewhat of a different enforcement mechanism in the House bill, which could fine and penalize local governments.
Tougher.
Yeah, versus the Senate penalty. But Blaise Gainey, any sense of the new governor, of Governor Ron DeSantis and his appetite for this kind of legislation?
Reports I read earlier is that he actually wants this. And so I believe when it gets to his desk, he'll sign it right away. I don't see any holdback on his side.
And already,
I haven't heard any.
Already we're seeing national Democrats talk to Floridians about 2020 White House ambitions. How does this play into national politics and the swing state of Florida and all of its electoral votes that are at risk? Anna, we've got about 30 seconds here.
I mean, I really don't have a good answer to that one.
I think it'll play very, very large into the voting. I mean, immigration is just a huge topic right now. And we're in Florida, where we know as Miami, Orlando, a lot of areas have a lot of immigrants. And even in North Florida, a lot of the farms up here have a lot of immigrant workers. So
we're not a border state, but it's a big issue here. Absolutely.
A huge issue.
Right, especially considering Venezuela, that's become a pretty political it's been a political thorn, if you will, in this debate. Democrats are kind of pushing back against Republicans, saying like,
we'll have
you
to
know,
leave it there. Blaise
Gainey
with WFSU, Ana Ceballos, News Service of Florida. Thank you both so much for
being on
the show. That's our show, The Florida Roundup, from WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Alex Gonzalez and Heather Schatz are producers.
Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, our Technical Director. The Director of Radio Operations in Miami is Peter Meritz. Our theme music provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. Thanks for calling, listening, and supporting public radio. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll be back next Friday.
We'll be right back. Artistic Director Michael Tilson-Thomas, soprano Misha Brugger-Gossman, and the New World Symphony share an exclusive sneak peek of their upcoming Carnegie Hall performance, showcasing MTT's own works and the world premiere of the latest addition to his Mahler legacy. The program nods to MTT's musical theater family, Carl Sandburg's poetry, and musical influences like Stravinsky, Sarah Vaughan, James Brown, and more. One performance only, April 20th, 2 p.m. at the New World Center. More at nws.edu/legacy.
The University